Senate, please come to order. For the members, please vote to signify their presence. Have all members voted? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning. Senator Paul Fisher and Senator Sackett are excused from the call of the Senate today.
May we stand for the invocation.
As I was writing my prayer yesterday for this morning, I was reminded of a journey I took a couple of years ago down to Guatemala to meet with Christian women there. We were en route to a Mam Indian village high in the mountains on a very windy road, when all of a sudden the Jeep driver stopped on the wrong side of the road. Looking ahead, I could see a bus winding down towards us. The driver said, "We forgot to pray when we left this morning." Thinking of the bus coming towards us, I said, "Couldn't we pray as we drive?" And his immediate response was, "When we pray, we give God all of our attention." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come with minds already busy at work with the agenda for today and ask the presence of your Holy Spirit to quiet our rushing thoughts so that if only for a few moments, we might give you our full attention. Lord, we pray that this might be more than just a moment stamped on an agenda, but a moment stamped on our hearts that will nudge us and recall us to your presence throughout the day. A moment when we set in order our disordered thoughts. A time to focus on you, to see through your eyes the tasks that lie before us. As we become caught up in the job at hand, may there ever be a sense of your hand on our shoulder to strengthen and guide us, and if need be, to restrain us. For Lord, it is only as our vision is clear and our minds set straight that we can be of any earthly use in furthering your kingdom and bringing peace to your creation. May all that is said and done today be to your name's honor and glory. For we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Does the Secretary certify the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 52nd legislative day.
Senator Ray.
For the 52nd legislative day, be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a former colleague of ours from Amonic, former Representative Martin Moore.
You have the floor, Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a constituent of mine, somebody that's well known to many of us, wife of former House Representative member Alvin Osterbach, his wife Maria Osterbach from San Juan.
We welcome you this morning. Are there messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There are messages from the other House.
Message of March 9. The House has failed to concur with the Senate amendment to House Bill No. 166, namely, Senate CS for House Bill No. 166 rules, effective date failed Senate, making special and supplemental appropriations for oil and gas matters, and respectfully requests the Senate to recede from its amendment. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate to consider the bills: Representative Bettesworth, Chairman, Representatives Barnes and Davis.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate recede from its amendments to the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 166. I respectfully request the Senate to vote no.
Question is, Senator Gill. You have the floor, Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I would request that the members vote yes. By voting yes, we can send this bill on to the governor in its original form without the amendments that were added that were bicycled through the Rules Committee and piggybacked onto the bill. I think that's a far more appropriate way to deal with the situation at this time, and it's much more expedient.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 166? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 6 yeas and 12 nays and 2 excused.
The Senate has failed to recede. I will appoint Senator Bennett, Senator Fahrenkamp, and Senator Ziegler to a conference committee to deal with this matter. Are there further messages from the House?
That was the only message from the House today.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Are there reports of standing committees this morning?
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill No. 63, an act relating to the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass with a preliminary fiscal note. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde, Sterdulewski, and Ray. Senator Kelly signed no recommendation. SB 63 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill No. 86, Compensation for Victims of Violent Crimes, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Vic Fisher, and Ferguson. Senate Bill 86 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill No. 149, Supplemental Appropriation for 1982 Permanent Fund Dividends, and recommends do pass with amendments. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Sterdulewski, Rohde, and Ray. SB 149 has a further referral to finance. The Senate State Affairs Committee met on March 8 to consider the appointment of Lisa Rudd as Commissioner of the Department of Administration. The committee recommends that the legislature confirm Mrs. Rudd's appointment in accordance with AS 39580. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, Senators Sterdulewski, Kelly, Ray, and Rohde. The Senate State Affairs Committee met on March 8 to consider the appointment of Major General Edward Pagano as Adjutant General of the Department of Military Affairs. The committee recommends that the legislature confirm General Pagano's appointment in accordance with AS 39580. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, Senators Sterdulewski, Kelly, Ray, and Rohde. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Resolutions for introduction.
Senate Concurrent Resolution No. 11 by Senator Curtula, requesting funding for the construction of a new livestock pavilion at the Alaska State Fair.
Resources, finance.
That is the only new resolution.
Senator Ray.
If it's livestock, pavilion, wouldn't that be judging there? Wouldn't that come to judiciary?
It'll probably end up in judiciary.
Thank you.
Are there bills for introduction?
Senate Bill No. 169 by Senator Moss, an act establishing the Alaska Grain Reserve Program and the Alaska Grain Reserve Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill No. 170 by Senator Moss, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Grain Reserve Revolving Loan Fund and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
Senate Bill No. 171 by Senators Sackett, Fakes, Bennett, Curtula, Eliason, Paul Fisher, Gilman, Halford, Kelly, Pettyjohn, Ziegler, Moss, and Ferguson, an act relating to compensation of state officials and employees.
Labor, Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill No. 172 by Senator Sackett, an act relating to wage rates on public construction.
Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill No. 173 by the Finance Committee, an act making special and supplemental appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Senate Bill No. 174 by Senators Josephson, Fahrenkamp, and Curtula, an act relating to employment preferences for state residents in construction contracts by the state or an agency of the state, providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce. I don't think it needs a finance referral. Finance Committee Chairman, please inform me if it does.
Those are the new bills, Mr. President.
Takes us to the daily calendar. We'll be at ease. Takes us to unfinished business. This time there is a substantial work been done on the by the Judiciary Chairman, Judiciary staff on the residency problems as a result of constitutional challenge. Senator Ray has requested a small committee now to work out on this. And I'm going to appoint Senator Ray, Senator Sackett, Senator Curtula, who are involved in the original old-timers legislation, as that special committee to report. I would ask that they have advisory members, Senator Ziegler and Senator Helford, involved in this also. Senator Ray?
If that's agreeable, then, and if it's approved by the body, then I would give notice that there will be a committee hearing at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in your office.
Thank you very much. We're trying to resolve that very complex problem, and there is a substantial amount of work been done on it. Are there announcements of committee meetings? Senator Ray.
Tomorrow, the Judiciary Committee will be hearing HCR 11, that's the petty juries with earphones, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Equal Rights Amendment, Senate Bill 131, the Good Samaritan Immunity from Liability. Also, on Friday, March 18th, there will be a hearing in Anchorage, time and place to be announced, on Senate Bill 121, authorizing capital punishment, classifying murder in the first degree as a capital felony, and establishing sentencing procedures for capital felonies.
You have the floor, Senator.
Friday the 11th, Senate Bill 98, an act relating to supplemental appropriation, Department of Community and Regional Affairs. Also on Wednesday the 16th, Senate Bill 173, act making supplemental appropriation for capital projects. On Tuesday, March 15th at 9 a.m., we'll continue on with Senate Bill 19, which we had hearings on this morning. That's making an appropriation University of Alaska for student housing.
You have the floor, Senator Lyason.
Mr. President, Labor and Commerce will meet this afternoon in the Belts Room, taking up Senate Bill 154, an act repealing the municipal exemption option to the Public Employment Relations Act, SB 145, an act relating to the Board of Marine Pilots, and House Bill 108, which is an act relating to the inclusion in the state-exempt service of licensed physicians employed by the Division of Mental Health and Development Disabilities, Department of Health and Social Services. And also, Mr. President, there's going to be a joint meeting in the House Finance Room, 519, the Capitol Building, this afternoon at 3 o'clock. The House House and Senate Labor and Commerce meeting will meet with the Alaska Power Authority dealing with the problems of the intertie between Fairbanks and Anchorage and the procedures used in awarding that contract.
Senator Victor Fitch.
Mr. President, State Affairs is meeting today at 3 p.m. in the Butrovich Room on SB 106, prison overcrowding, SB 111, use of teleconferences, SB 116, placing emergency guards of public safety in the exempt service.
Resources Chairperson.
Mr. President, tomorrow 4:30 to 6:30 in the Borough Assembly Chambers, I'll be holding hearings on SB 14, SB 108, and SB 79. On Monday, immediately following session, the Resources Committee will be meeting, taking up the agriculture bills at a continuation of yesterday's hearings.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, we have the floor, Senator.
President, the Rules Committee will be meeting on Monday, March 14th at 12:30 p.m. in the Belts Room. The committee will take up Senate Bill 24, an act relating to penalties for assaulting a peace officer, firefighter, or other emergency responders, and Senate Bill 152, Senate Bill 86, Senate Bill 63. I'm sorry I don't have the titles of the bill, but they'll be published.
Senator Joseph.
Revert to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection.
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a friend of many senators and representatives, a lady who has been active in the business community and in, particularly in land development and brokering in Anchorage and in your district, Kelly Gay.
Are there further announcements of committee meetings? Are there items under special orders this morning? Senator Joseph.
May I have special privilege of floor to speak on a bill introduced this morning?
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, this morning I introduced with Senator Fahrenkamp and yourself and Senator Fisher Senate Bill 174, which is an outgrowth of the recent decision Senator Fahrenkamp brought to our attention of the Supreme Court of the United States in a case called White versus Massachusetts Council of Construction Employers, Incorporated. That decision was rendered by the Supreme Court on February 28, 1983. Pardon me. In that case, Mr. President, the mayor of Boston had issued an executive order requiring that on all public works projects in which municipal funds were involved, at least 50% of the workers were required to be bona fide residents of the city of Boston. A group of construction employers challenged the constitutionality of the mayor's executive order on two grounds: the Commerce Clause of the Constitution of the United States, and the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the Constitution. The Supreme Court's decision announced February 28th upheld the mayor's executive order against the Commerce Clause attack. The court reasoned that when a local or state government enters the market as a participant directly and not in a regulatory capacity, the Federal Commerce Clause restraints do not apply, even if implementing the order would have a significant impact on specialized construction firms that employ out-of-state residents. That fact is not relevant to the question of whether the city or state is participating in the marketplace when it provides funds for construction, the Supreme Court said. We will recall, Mr. President, that the former Alaska local hire law was struck down by the same court when it was challenged under the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the Federal Constitution. However, the Supreme Court in the White case found that the privileges and immunities question has not been, and I'm quoting, to any great extent briefed or argued in this court, and so it remanded that issue back to the Supreme Court of Massachusetts without passing on its merits. Therefore, the validity of Mayor White's executive order on privileges and immunities grounds still remains an open question. However, the White case does offer some encouragement on that issue as well. The Supreme Court decision by Justice Rehnquist actually discusses the Alaska case, which was decided in 1978, Hicklin versus Orbeck, and in which the Supreme Court had said that our hire law was, quote, an attempt to force virtually all businesses that benefit in some way from the economic ripple effect of Alaska's decision to develop its oil and gas resources to bias their employment practices in favor of Alaska's residents. Turning to Mayor White's order, Justice Rehnquist said this: even though the respondents, the employers, no longer press the Privileges and Immunities Clause holding of Hicklin, the Alaska case, we note that on the record before us, the application of Mayor White's order to contracts involving only city funds does not represent the sort of, quote, attempt to force virtually all businesses that benefit in some way from the economic ripple effect, close quote, that's a quotation from the Alaska case, of the city's decision to enter into contracts for construction projects to bias their employment practices in favor of the city's residents. These words are encouraging because they suggest the possibility that the court is now looking at the language in the bill introduced here today in a different and more sympathetic way than it did look at the old Alaska hire law. Justice Rehnquist, in a footnote, went on to observe, in this case, the mayor's executive order covers a discrete, identifiable class of economic activity in which the city is a major participant. Everyone affected by the order is, in a substantial, if informal sense, working for the city. Wherever the limits of the market participation exception may lie, we conclude that the executive order in this case falls well within cases that establish the exception. Mr. President, I'm asking that the bill lie at the Secretary's desk for 2 hours to allow for additional co-sponsors. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Are there further items under special orders? Senator Helford.
Mr. President, I request the privilege of the floor under special orders to address the capital budget supplemental.
We have the floor, Senator. There are no objections.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's been considerable criticism of the capital budget supplemental, Senate Bill 162, and though I'm sure most areas of the state are concerned and there are more needs than there really are dollars available, I think it's important to note, and I certainly appreciate the fact that in my community, with a few exceptions for DOT proposed projects, all of those projects came from the combination of our municipal assembly and our municipal administration. That represents a substantial improvement over previous capital budgets as introduced, and I certainly would like to say that I appreciate that opportunity for input from our local government.
Are there further items under the special orders?
Yes, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, I'd like to address the body on a matter dealing with the Legislative Finance Agency. Move and ask unanimous consent.
You have the floor, Senator.
Fine. Tomorrow is going to be Milt Barker's last day. Milt will be going to the Department of Revenue as Deputy Commissioner of the Treasury. It's a very important job, and I certainly wish him well. I think that many of us who've worked with Milt have been impressed by his professionalism. He's been with the legislative agency for 12 years. In my opinion, it was largely through his work that we saw coming together the departmental and legislative financial revenue projections. Just a short time ago, they were widely different. He knew the intricacies of the legislative computer system and has produced for many of us a lot of excellent runs on a number of financial issues. This past week, knowing that Milt was going, some of us, certainly myself, have been really trying to do some work with him to learn the ins and outs of our current financial system and some of the budget items that are before us. Also going is a very capable Pat Williams, who has in many ways been the glue, I think, of that department. She's been there for some 9 years. I don't think it's necessary to go into the serious pressures that developed, that led to what I see as an almost complete demise of a joint agency, that of the Legislative Finance Agency. We have remaining one fiscal analyst, one acting, one accounting technician, and two data processors. Obviously, they're severely understaffed to assist the legislature in a time of very difficult budget considerations. I think the sad thing is this is a session where we have some real pressures, but we're going to have almost totally limited access to independent revenue projections, different from the administration or the same as, we'll never know that. We're going to have very limited ability to have fiscal analyst review of the budget items, analysis of the financial issues. I think what's really sad about it, though, is whatever happens to that agency in the future, and I certainly hope it's retained as a joint agency, I think we've lost a tremendous amount of collective historical knowledge that was available there. All of the growth and changes that have taken place since the money came could have given us a great deal of insight into those years when the money is not going to be so readily available. And I hate to see what's happened, but certainly do wish Milt well in his new and very responsible job. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Ray.
I'm sorry, sir, I was dozing. If there's no other business to come before the Senate, I move we adjourn at 10 a.m. Friday, March 11th.
You're adjourned.